20. Slippery fish and carrion birds. A week later, when Western Australia was sighted, Modo was one of the first passengers to run to the port side of the ship and stare over the railings at the sandy beaches and brushy landscape. He sighed. It was so good to see land again after days on the rough open sea. They had been travelling for over a month and a half, but now it would be less than a week before they reached Sydney. Soon every first-class passenger was lined up along the railing, holding down hats in the warm breeze. Octavia and Mrs. Finchley squeezed in beside Modo. They pointed at flocks of birds. When the birds circled a bit closer, he recognized them as buzzards.
"The water is such a bright blue," Octavia said, "and the sand so white."
Modo squinted.
"White as salt."
Mrs. Finchley was pressing so hard on her hat that it was losing its shape.
"It looks uncivilized," she pronounced. "I hope Sydney has more to offer than this."
Modo had to agree. All that was visible were rocks, sand, and acres of brush on flat, dry land. No birds other than the buzzards. No kangaroos, creatures he'd been hoping to see since he was a child. No sign of human habitation. In fact, it was the most desolate patch of land Modo had ever seen. Even the sands along the Suez Canal and the Red Sea had some green growth, and numerous huts and villages. Gradually, the passengers grew bored, wandering away.
"I have sewing to do," Mrs. Finchley said with a sigh. "If all of Australia is this breezy, I'll need chin straps for my hats. Mr. Reed, would you be so kind as to escort your cousin back to her cabin when she has finished sightseeing?"
"My pleasure," Modo said, then corrected himself. "It would be my honour, in fact."
Mrs. Finchley laughed and left them. For a while, Modo and Octavia watched the landscape pass by silently. It was the first time in weeks that they had been alone together.
"Australia is 100 times larger than England," Modo said, to break the silence. "I'm aware of that, cousin," Octavia said. "I'm not a complete dunderhead."
"I wasn't suggesting that you were."
"I know, I know. I'm only frustrated. I've never been cooped up on a ship for so long. Our trip to New York was a lark compared to this."
"I must say that I, too, am tired of the shipboard life, cousin," Modo replied.
He really didn't like being her cousin. Then again, he reminded himself, cousins did marry in polite society. He turned to her.
"I'm proud, at least, that I haven't yet fallen into the ocean."
Octavia chuckled. He was pleased to see that mischievous light shine in her eyes at this reference to their last voyage.
"Yes, glad you're not letting that become a habit."
She looked around. No one was near.
"Modo, I..."
"Yes?"
"I've been ignoring you. I apologize for that."
So it hadn't been his imagination.
"Well, you've had so many officers to talk to."
"Jealous?"
"No,"
Modo insisted.
"I'm only playing my part, Modo. A woman of my advanced age must find a husband before she becomes an old maid."
Modo smiled. Octavia was only 17 at the most.
"Besides, Mrs. Finchley has chaperoned every one of those conversations."
"Then why—" Better to be blunt.
"Why have you been ignoring me?"
I will admit, Modo, that you are more than just a fellow agent. You are a friend. And, well, I'm just so curious about you. But you're such a big secret. An enigma is the word Mrs. Finchley would use."
"She called me an enigma."
"No, but she has been teaching me some big words. Proper words. So many words I could scream, actually. In any case, I feel at times that I don't really know who you are."
"I'm your friend."
"Yes, but who are you?"
"What is the answer?" he thought, once again confused by her.
"I am Modo. I'm just Modo."
He felt like shouting it until all the passengers turned their heads to look at him.
"I am Modo, the one who spends countless hours in my cabin, hiding my ugly body, my terrifying face. I'm the one who lives in fear that Octavia might walk in and see me as I really am. I'm the one who's always on guard."
This was all about his face. He knew it.
She wanted to see it, and had wanted to for months now. She wanted to see his real face, but he would never be able to show it to her.
"I am whoever I want to be," he finally said.
She nodded.
"And that's the problem. You're a slippery fish."
She was comparing him to a fish.
Why did everything always come down to his appearance? Couldn't she see who he was through his eyes? Had she learned nothing of his character after all they'd been through?
Mr. Socrates saw his value as an agent. Mrs. Finchley saw his talent. But who would ever see his heart?
"I'm more than a fish, cousin," Modo snapped. "I didn't mean to insult you,"
he sighed.
"Allow me to escort you to your cabin. This fish is tired."